I'm going to read the passage which I have wrestled with greatly this week. And then run through some observations which hopefully will make some sense. So it's Revelation 2, the last church there, Thyatira, and we should have the words up on the screen. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord. Just kids, since you're probably tuning in still to me, I just want to put the first little thing in there. If it stood out, "I will strike her children dead," it's a way of saying her followers. So you know, it's not. Don't be scarred by what I say from the front. Ethan's already scarred, so I don't want any more of you. I want to suggest that in our closed door situations, we forget who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ with eyes like flames of fire, that he sees all of us, sees us, not just Thyatira here, all the churches, all of us. He really sees us. Jesus Christ who says, "I am the one who searches minds and hearts of all of us all the time." Jesus Christ who has feet like burnished bronze, this magnificent, exalted, pure. Jesus Christ who is just. He says to Thyatira that they have time to do what? They've had time to repent. I gave time to repent, a chance to turn from their ways. And I looked at Romans 2, which says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. And I was thinking about this, because sometimes we feel like God is a mean judge, except what we see here is that through Jesus, we have this just judge, one who gives us time to turn from our sins. Not once off, constantly. And I think we need to repent of our behavior. That's what's going on here. But Thyatira, their behavior is not marrying up with their faith. We saw these differences. And I want to suggest here that our behavior is entirely relevant to our faith. I want you to believe that this Jesus Christ wants you in right relationship with him, so glory can be given to him. And that is the burden that I see here. Because he says, I won't burden you with any other commands to those that aren't participating. The burden is to live life so glory is given to Christ. When we are faithful, there is no other burden than that. Faithfulness, I tried to give some examples earlier, and telling one of the uses of that root word is it's about telling others, witnessing to others. So glory is given. This is the burden. Our own sin, our immorality and idolatry of things in this world, other things that we place before God, we burden ourselves with that, with those things. Faithfulness. My yoke is easy, burden is light. And Jesus says, to you who conquer, who live, like we looked at last week, with lives of repentance, with the time that we are given to do so, we are given time, to you who conquer, Jesus says, not me, that in the new heavens and new earth, authority will be given. And there's some great, harks back to Psalms, that this iron scepter and the clay pot imagery to rule. That it's also got usage of to shepherd, as the lamb does. So the faithful will share in this shepherding rule in Christ's authority. I think that's significant, to share in something, anything with Christ, is what we're told. At the end, we're also told how the morning star will be given. And I really, one of the things was believed at Julius Caesar's death, a star or comet was seen, which signified his deity. And the big question was, who is Lord? That's one of the big things that Revelation is trying to do here. And so Revelation later in 22 shows that Jesus is the morning star. Jesus is what people have been thinking, you know, comparable to seeing the star representing deity. Jesus is Lord, not anything of this world. But how does this matter to us? This is the promise we have. If we live in a way that says our behavior is relevant to our faith, what we do, particularly in this, I think, what we do in the shadows, I was going to use that movie kind of thing as a bit of it, what we do behind closed doors, what we do in the dark, so to speak, what we do without others knowing, it's relevant to our faith. Our faith has to play a part in our behavior. And then, subsequently, we have this promise to those who conquer. Part of the suggestion that I was doing with the kids was that the first time is always... it's the hardest. Things get easier subsequently after. So can I suggest that if you are sitting there thinking about something, I used to be, I mean, I just told how I stole from my mum, but kids, if you're thinking about stealing, adults, if you're thinking about looking at harmful images online, if you're thinking about starting a relationship with another person. The first time, it's the hardest, but I think it's also, in some ways, it's therefore the easiest to stop, because it gets easier to do it after that. Those that weren't affected by Jezebel had no burden but to be faithful. As soon as they're affected, there's a whole lot more. And if you're in something at the moment, if you're in it, we all have or have had our struggles, those things that we're in, those voices that we listen to encourage us, whether it's to eat food or... I want to say you are not alone. You aren't unusual. You aren't abnormal. We all sin. You're just like everyone else, struggling to live in this world. Find someone. I know there will be. We struggle on our own. We keep it to ourselves. Find someone. Trust them. And hold on, as Jesus says here, to the knowledge that we have that Jesus is Lord and does want you to repent. He's already accomplished it all. He's already forgiven. We forget that as well when we're in amongst it. He wants us to repent. Turn from it. So you stop hurting others. Stop hurting yourself. He's not trying to shame you. He only wants to walk with you in your stuff and not try and do it without him because you feel not good enough. That's the stuff of Satan. Don't forget who Jesus is. When I brought someone in, the analogy we would use was a ladder. One step for every week or month without looking at something online. But then if we did fail, it would feel like we fell all the way. Fallen off the ladder, we would say. No. No. I want to say there is no off with Jesus. As long as you are breathing, no matter what you are doing, he gives time to repent. Might slip down a rung, maybe, as the analogy goes. There may be consequences, potentially. But Jesus says, when you conquer, when you are faithful, then he, the morning star, and his authority in heaven, where the victory is won, is yours. When we do this, we bring our faith into our behavior. And we seek to bring our behavior in line with our faith. The love and compassion that I talked about, that we see at the start of Thyatira. The servanthood, the service, the faithfulness, the endurance, then becomes the most important. And all that becomes a reflection of us and of our faith and of Jesus. Can I encourage you? This was a really hard text to try and extrapolate. But we're all in stuff. Some of it affecting ourselves, affecting others. Bring someone in. And as you do, invite Jesus into that space. Know the truth of who he is. Know it. You are good enough already. Starts in Genesis 1, not Genesis 3. We were good, 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 very good before we were sinners.